I'm going to ask all of you a question nobody answered. Just sort of think about it. How do we communicate, basically? Something to think about. And you know, that's what the Lord's really laid on my heart. I don't really know exactly where he wants to go, but I don't generally remember any of these messages, but someday, somehow today, this afternoon, the Lord inspired my heart that I know what was said last Sunday morning. And part of it was, there's a lot of different messages coming from my people, which are my leaders, but it's not by the heart of God. And that really gripped my heart, especially after he brought that back, the meaning of that, not from the heart of God. You know, bring it down to just a normal, well, not a military level, just into an office level of that. But if there was a spoken word given out to do such, and everyone wasn't trying to their very best to do what that word was spoken, I think there'd be some people would be not really qualifying as a good worker. Wouldn't everybody believe that? Let's bring it down in a kind level. But I believe that everything in life, it takes words, most of us, it takes a word to complete a task, to complete a what we think, our expression, how we're feeling is through our words. A lot of it, sometimes people can read us, but by our words that we're justified or by our words that we're condemned. And so I really believe that our words are very special. The Bible says we are a peculiar people, a holy nation. So with that, God has a special calling, I believe, on his people. I'm bringing it down just where we can think here for a minute. And how does God speak to us? Only does he only speak through his word, which his word is very powerful. And his word is very exact. And anything that we hear from him better align with the word, or we better question where we've been hearing it from. He just doesn't have to go out here and say, well, you do this or that. Those things come on the leading of the Spirit. And last Thursday night, Sister, God spoke to me that what was said was correct, but it happens fast when God moves. You don't have time, generally in the spirit world, you don't have time to analyze it. You don't have time to question it. You don't have time to compare it, but you act through the Spirit. Does this make any sense to anybody? So we don't question the call that is given from a higher level. And I believe the higher level of us as Christians is from the Lord. We'd all have to come to that same conclusion. And the same in the military. Everything comes down in that same comparable way. That word, because they say, what's your orders? It better all be the same. Or they're going to do some backtracking and trying to find out where's the troubles. Because an army cannot move unless the command is right all the way through. Now, it relates with the Christian walk, too. Our command remains true with the Spirit of God. And God is not here to bring confusion. Confusion is from the enemy. He is the author of confusion, and he confuses everything that he can get confusion. He is very happy because he wants us to walk in confusion. We don't have to walk in confusion. We can walk in obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And through the Spirit of God, I'm sure that many, many Christians this last days, and I'm not judging them, but I believe a lot of them never really heard from the Spirit, and they're saying, thus saith the Spirit of God, when it's not really, it's from their heart. Well, our heart is not God's heart. And Brother Katz, I don't want to say anything by me unless I feel the Spirit within me that gives me an unction. That's a driven directive from heaven that I can say, and that when it does come, I'd come against everyone in the world because it's jammed in all of you. It's something special. And it comes so fast, so glorious that you don't take time to compare. You don't care to call someone, oh, is this right? No, God don't want you to do that. He wants us to have our trust and our faith in the living God. If God be for us, who can be against us? So as this goes on, I believe we need to realize that our conversation has to be above the highest quality. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord,
my strength and my redeemer. If I'm going too fast, I want anyone to stop me for right now, because I believe there's going to be a time when it's going to go where you, it's going to be hard to stop me. But right now, there's a time that if you need to know something or want to ask something, it's your privilege. I'll give it in your hands. But God doesn't want confusion. The Bible says that confusion, for this envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. So if we get confused in something, we need to pray through. Literally, this is from God. We need to pray through and say, Lord, why am I confused in this issue? There should be no confusion. There's no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus who walk not in the flesh but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. The enemy comes to kill, destroy, and steal. He comes to bring us, to disqualify us all the time. He is the author of all the situations not from God. And we can name a lot of different ones. We can think a lot of different categories. It's not authorized by God. A lot of times our thinking. It says, He will keep in perfect peace His mind is stayed on Thee because we trust in Thee. There's a trust that builds up within us that we can trust in the living God. And God here tonight simply wants us to be able to trust in Him. This is just easy stuff, but it's so mandatory and so needful that we get to where we can't trust God, and then our words are coming out from ourselves. Our words are misguided. They're not from heaven. They're bringing us into a place of a lower quality than where God wants us to be. Maybe we're not really saying things of sin, but we're not upholding that spot that God wants to be a little higher. And when this is happening, our joy level is sort of down. Our feelings are right at the end of our fingers. Our sight, we're no longer looking up, but we're looking at the things that are seen. We're looking at what we're comparing. We start saying we have a little tendency to judge. We have a little tendency to criticize. We have a little tendency of not being faithful. We have a little tendency of getting upset. We have, these are some of the landmarks that come. It's like a gauge. When we start getting upset, we need to check what's wrong. When I get angry, what's wrong? Something's wrong. Something's out of kilter. I must take account of myself. And if you don't take account of, if we don't take account of ourselves, the enemy will come in like a flood and he will disturb us. And pretty soon we're disturbed, we're out of sync, and we're not in contact with God. And pretty soon we're walking down life's pathway supposed to be toward heaven, and we're taking the side entrance. We're going off here. We're taking a place of less reproach to us. Many times we don't want to go where it's very difficult. We want to go where there's least lines of resistance. And that's why we need the working of the Spirit. God lets you walk and you're not fractured. There's something about it that becomes a cell of His presence. And it's like the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it says, we need to learn that. I will say of the Lord, we need to say that. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. And believe it. He is my refuge. He is my Savior. He is my soon coming King. And my eyes look to Him, and to Him only do I get my direction. To Him I seek Him. And I don't expect any of you to walk where I've walked it, because that's taken many years of preparation. But I'm telling you, there is guidelines to help us that we don't have to even know the saith the Lord. Bible says, where there's confusion, there's every evil work. So if this has taken place, you know to back off from it and not to be partakers with it. You need to be separate with your words. You need to have a quality that I'm calling on God. Lord, lead my path this day. Do all the things that you know to do right. And if you know to do what's right, He will answer you. He'll make it complete. This day I give you this life, my life this day in Jesus' name. I call upon you, my Savior, because I love you. I desire you. I don't know which way you want me to go. So I'm going to wait upon you. And when you wait upon God, that's all that's necessary. The Bible says, having done all to stand. That means taking place. Be not, let it dismay you. Let not break your heart. Need not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. For God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let not these childish things bring a reproach upon you that set you down to a level that you're in the realm of these normal spirits. Bible says, forsake foolish things of the child. We're to take off the childish things that we started. And I asked the Lord what that was. And when we start walking the Lord, He takes us like we are. So maybe once in a while I have a tendency to want to go see something. And God says, I want you to grow. It says, put off foolish lusts, youthful lusts. That means when we're youth, foolish, youthful, they're both sometimes attached to us. We start growing, then we grow into another dimension. But we have to forsake some of these details that comes, like in the army, they comes, you put you on a detail. And sometimes on a spiritual walk, when we especially first accept Jesus, there becomes some assignments we don't want to do. We don't want to really pray. We do not really want to read the word like we should. And these things, we grow into it. It's not overnight that we do it, but we need to take time to receive that blessing, that it's no longer a problem for us, but it's a blessing. Some of the things that we start enduring as a child, they're a problem. I don't want to do that. I'm having too much fun out here. And the Lord says, trust me, I want to take care of you. I want to provide for you. When you get older, I want to be the reason of your life. I want you to put me first, and I will give you a great inheritance. I will bless you, and I will strengthen you, that your words will be directed from heaven. Your eyes will be upon me, and I shall guide thee through the times of struggles. And God will start growing the nature and admonition of the Lord by releasing our faith toward, our faith starts growing. Our faith starts expanding. Our faith gets more rigid, more powerful, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We need to cast ourselves. We have to do this continually. And there, as a child, we have to do this basically from the old method. We go over it and go over it. When we get in the spirit world, we start growing in the spirit. It doesn't come overnight. It comes as fasting and praying and seeking God. And the more you give to God, the more God gives to you. And basically, that's what it's all about. When we're a child, we still have all of our fleshly lusts. Even if we've been born in a Christian home or wherever we are, we have these fleshly lusts, and we give them over to God, and God is very patient. If we had died, we'd go make it to heaven. There's no question about it. But God gives us time to be overcomers, and we overcome as children, basically. We come into a child, into a realm that we wait upon God. We seek God. We call upon him. We want to please him. We want to live victoriously over this lifespan that God has given us here, that we would be a vessel of praise, a vessel of honor, a vessel would seek the Lord thy God and would choose to serve him out of their heart, that we would want to serve him, that I would be my desire, my heart, to serve my God, because he's glorious, he's wonderful, he's more richer and more blessed. My God owns, the Bible says he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. It means he can provide your need right now, and he's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. He's long suffering us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. By our words we're justified, or by our words of condemned. Before we go any farther, I really believe that we must think about this, that we as God's people, as the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. It says, put off youthful lusts. Put off the things that cause us to fret, the things that cause us to forsake God. And the Bible says, whatsoever not of faith is sin. God wants to grow in the faith level that we can believe that my heavenly Father can do anything. You know, how would we feel our earthly fathers? Would he feel, most earthly fathers feel, if their kids thought that they couldn't do? Most of our father, this boy, he's up here, most kids, and they get older, then they probably get a little less and less than that as they get older, because they've learned them. But their father and their mother was there for a special reason, to bring them through those years of learning. They could not make it without the father and the mother. That's the part, the time in the early years is so needful, because they bring them through the times of knowing what's right and wrong. And this is not Bible, but this is other things too. That you don't put your hand on an electric stove, you might get burnt. Things, laws that you start teaching your children. Don't put your fingers in hot water, and be careful. Don't go in a room where there's black widows, and don't go around snakes. All these things are programmed as warnings for us that we're done from a child. Our fathers and mothers do this continually, that we might grow up through life not having many accidents, or prone to having a real problem, maybe a broken leg, a broken arm, all these critical things that arrange our lives, and they are part of our lives. And basically, it remains the same in the spiritual, that we start growing, and God says, please don't hit your toe where you're going to blacken your toe. Many times we stumble on things in the spiritual realm. And God sees us, it's not a big thing, but we're not really, we're having problems with it. And God wants us to bring through these small things that we will rejoin ourselves in that ranks that He is our Lord. And I believe we grow in this, and we grow in faith. We go in with the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'd like to read a few scriptures. The Bible says, follow righteousness and faith and love and peace to them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart. Those are part of the guidelines that we see. Are we following God in righteousness, in faith, in love, in peace? Peace is a wonderful gift that God has given us, that we can live with everybody in peace. Where there's warring, there's people not together. And that's what's wrong many places with the natural church. There's no receiver of the Spirit. It's done through the Word. But the Bible says the Word of God is, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And the Spirit of God is something that brings forth the soothing, the healing that we need after the Word goes in and cuts us. We need that healing balm of Gilead. We need that correction with love. We need the attraction from heaven that delivers us. And we feel the safety that's in our Lord, that we don't dread Him, but we love Him. We care for Him. He's part of us, and we're part of Him. We are of His bloodline. God loves us so much that He wants us not to fail. But God wants us to bless, walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we put on the nature of God, the blessings of God. Where His Spirit is, there is liberty. The Bible says He will show us the pathway of life. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His right hand, pleasures evermore. God has these wonderful tools of blessings for us, and we grow to the place that we can use these tools. We learn how to pray. We learn how to call upon God. We learn to wait upon God. And these are blessings and very needful in the day that we live in, that we can all pray. The Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I forgive their sins and heal the lands. God has given us a mighty blessing. But the Apostle Paul was one of all of us here know, but Paul was a very profound man, I think. He had a lot of schooling, education, but God chose him because I think that God seen something special in Paul. He was Saul originally, but God changed Saul's name to Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Timothy, when you start reading Timothy, it really, there's a lot of wonderful places that Paul has written in there so needful us as Christians. In the second chapter of 2 Timothy, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. As a good soldier. A good soldier doesn't think about going back if he's married. He thinks about it, but he can't go back home. He can't go see his wife. As a good soldier, his calling is to forsake all, and if it needs to be, he gives his life for his nation or whoever he's a soldier with. And that's, when you think about it, that's a very high standard. Most people say, oh, that's too hard. But that's what Paul says here. For no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. So if God calls us as a soldier, we're not to have the affairs of this life. As we start growing, we start understanding this. And God lets us do these things. God understands that we're made out of dust. In Psalms 103, He remembers that He made us out of dust. That means that our limitations were easy to fall apart. We're like Humpty Dumpty. We have great many falls. Many times it takes all of Humpty Dumpty, all of his king's men, to put him together again. Many times we, if it wasn't for the hand of God, are messed up. We're not where we're, hopefully, God's still working on us. And we must be pliable to the one that loves us. He's the one that wants us to act like, we haven't got any excuses, but He wants us to act like Jesus. Don't act like brother. Don't act like someone else. Don't act like our president. We don't act of someone because they're someone. We act because of Jesus. And we have to come to that place, what would Jesus do? And that probably every day of our life, we'll have to say, would Jesus, where I'm going, is that the status that Jesus want me to be? Would He want me saying what I'm saying? Would He be well pleased with what I'm doing? And He'd say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The things that we're looking at would he say, that's okay? Or would he say, I wish you wouldn't look at that? Because our eyes are the windows that brings darkness into our pathway. And the enemy knows that. So that's why when we go like to Las Vegas and places, these terrible places, we need to be very careful because they're great allurements. That brings our heart level down, that we want to see some attraction that we should not see. And these are tools the enemy does to bring us to a level that we give up that which God's already blessed us with. When we go to those kind of places, if we do, no one here, but I'm just saying for those that do and partake on to any device that's not from God, like alcohol, many things like that, drugs or whatever they are, it's divisive to pull us down. And it will pull us down even if we've had God and we know Jesus Christ. We must be delivered, and it's a pathway that we must choose to do daily, seeking God daily to stay out from, we might be a separated people, a holy people, and we would no longer walk in confusion, but we'd walk by the liberty of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And when God is faith, yes, you can do that. It's like God moves in a mighty way, and it's so wonderful when the Spirit of God comes and God moves in a mighty way. And it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It would not be fair if you gave your life to the Lord. I'm just saying, but God will reward you. But if you would say right now, choose to live for God the rest of your life, God is going to reward you. And I found a scripture today to really back that up, and I'm going to give it. It's in Psalms, and it's a 92nd Psalm. And it even talks about the old man like me. But God don't forget us. And if a person would choose to live with God when they're a child, it's so much easier. It's so much brighter. And so much more fun. I've never had so much fun until I gave really. And people get tired of me saying it, but boy, it's fun with the Lord. It's fun when God says, hey. It's fun seeing that angel. It's fun. These things are great wonders of God. I mean, God has great wonders, and he closes our eyes, but the longer we serve him, our eyes become lifted. When we start seeing more clearly, we start knowing that our prayers are going to be answered. We know that when we're in his presence, we know that he is real, because he will not suffer the righteous to be moved. He is here to uphold us, to uplift us. And if you, any man, will live for God, God will bless you. He will strengthen you. He'll bring you a great day in the Lord. Where his Spirit is, there is liberty. And they shall bring forth fruit. That's in Psalms 93. In old age, that's me. They shall be fat and flourish. That's me. To show the Lord in upright, he is my rock. That's what us. He rewards us. He rewards you. It's tribulation, work of patience, patient experience, and experience hope. That's in Romans. When you first come to the Lord, a lot of things, you just got to have faith. God loves you so much, but you learn to love, and don't let nothing deter your walk with the Lord Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. And remember, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that's beyond, it's beyond any. I could not, before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had no strength. I just could not control myself at times. There was a time when I could not keep what I wanted to do. I wanted to do it, but I couldn't do it. But when God gave me that precious gift of the Holy Ghost, it became a lasting, a blessing from on high that gave me a strength that I never had before. It gave me a joy that I never had. It gave me a peace that I never had. It gave me confidence to go forth in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in Jesus' name. It gave me the confidence that I could pray 8 years, and my neck was the doctor said I was going to die. I kept praying, and I kept praying. Pretty soon, God heard my voice, healed my neck. But God wants us to wait upon him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall. It's determined as positive. It's not a negative issue. They that wait upon the Lord shall. There's no question about it. God is greater. He wants to live within you. And you can have a, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He justifies us. He helps us. God doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to bless. The enemy is the one that wants to tantalize you. And I'll tell you, I feel sorry for these places that do not give us God has a special blessing for every child, every one. He's got a special vocation. He's got a special deliverance. He's got a calling, and he's got a blessing for each one that will be manifested by the Spirit of God in these last hours, that we might walk as a profitable and a special child from God, that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. His eye is out upon the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. And his face is against those that do evil. That's in Peter. It says his eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but his face is against them that do evil. He's against them that do evil. And without God's comforter, we cannot help but do evil. We need that extra dimension of God that makes us more than conquerors through. It's our life. I'm about to come to the end of mine, but our life is very expendable in ourselves. And that's expendable. It has no profit. It has no profitability that can do anything. It cannot support itself. And we need the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God upon us, and his Spirit will lift us up in heavenly places. We're like a vapor. As the Bible says, our life is like a vapor here for only a moment. And with this transparency of our dimensions, God wants to speak wholesomely. And that's where God wants us to rise and shine, that we will never criticize. We will lift up. We will bless. We will be a blessing. We will lift up the name of Jesus, and we will be identified as God's children. The pathway of the just is a shining light that shines more and more to that most perfect day. The pathway of the just is as a shining light that shines. The Spirit of God is real. He's faithful. He will never let you go. He is the great I Am. And last week when Sister was here, when she asked for the direction, God, that instantly he was here witnesses. It was right now, he said. And I, this day, God said, don't let it bother you. If he was, if Sister would be taken in glory, she was told right. And we should never question the move of God. We should never question when God, we don't have to worry what the people think about us. If we're led by the Spirit of God, we don't wonder. And they will say, well, what if that don't work out right? Well, God has conditions. You still say it, whether it does work right or it doesn't work right. Because the people themselves have their heart has a way of changing the program that God wanted to deliver them to be justified. And they change the program, and they're not justified no longer. They're going the wrong way. So, but you still spoke right. Maybe they say, there's a lot of soothsayers say, oh, see, you said this. No, God said right. God wants every person to be in heaven. And God wills that, but everybody won't be in heaven. And that's the same thing. God wills through the Spirit. And we're not to ever back up, not question it. We won't know in eternity, and maybe we don't even have to be wondered. Walking in the Spirit takes away a lot of pressures off of your life. You don't have to be concerned. You don't have, if everybody say you're wrong, don't worry about it, because God's never wrong. Maybe the whole world will say I'm wrong, but they don't have to worry. God's never wrong. God never fails. He's always on time. He's always there. He's ahead of time. He is with you through the times of discouragement. He is a time of a blessed hope. A glorious servant from heaven. God sends forth his angels as ministering spirits to minister for the saints. Betty and I was in Bakersfield. I don't know what I ever told you. And I was so tired. And she and I was going up to see my dad. And my dad was in the hospital in Redding, California. And Betty and I told her, Betty, I said, it's too far to go to Texas, California. I'm just going to tell him I can't go. She said, you need to go. And there she was telling me I needed to go. And I said, it's so far. And so we took off. We got to Bakersfield. As I got down, there used to be a sign way out of the lower side of Bakersfield. And I seen this man sitting there. And I seen that he had a Bible like this. But on that Bible, I could see a cross about this big. And so I darted right to him. I said, Lord, I was always willing to want to see where God was at. And so we picked this man up. And I'm sure he was an angel. And because I didn't know some things. And I wouldn't go any time, and I would never let nobody drive my vehicles. Never. I would not if I was going to fall asleep. I just made sure that no one was going to mess up for Betty. I wouldn't trust him. And with him, he says, can I drive? And I said, sure. And there was just something that just... Betty said I went immediately to sleep. Well, he started talking to Betty, and he says, do you believe in God? And she says, yes, I do. He said, if I ever tell you something, would you believe it? And he says, yes. She says, yes, I would. And he told her a lot of things about her life. And then he says, you know, he says, I'm going to give you this money because you and
You're not going to make it back unless you take this money.
She said, I can't do that. Would just get up so upset at me. He says, I'm saying from the Lord, you take this because you're going to need it. This trip's too far. You cannot make it. You're going to need this money. And he had a handkerchief, and he gave Betty that money. He says, just hide it away. So we got up to Stockton, and he says, I think this is about as far as I need to go. He drove that far, and I had a pretty good sized tank. And I got out to say thank you, and he was gone. So we went and seen my folks. My dad was in the hospital. It's 1955. And on the way back, we got down to out of Arizona. And I said, Betty, I said, you know what? We're in trouble. I said, well, I just don't have enough money. In those days, it wasn't just, you didn't get handy out. And my folks, I knew I couldn't get no money from them. I didn't know anybody that. And Betty says, you know, I'm going to tell you something if you don't get mad. I said, I'm not going to get mad at you, Betty. I said, believe it, I'm not. And I wasn't. And she told me what, and do you know, I forget how many, there were $75, I think, in that. And it was exactly right. We got in on a Monday night. Just took one work. We all back here, and I get home and got to sleep that night and come a knock on the door and says, you got to go to work. The levee's on. So I went back to work and worked 36 hours straight. But what I'm saying, and everything of this, God was in it. Even that work in that 36 hours, I needed that because I was off that time. And I didn't. God moves mightily. And I was just a little ignorant nobody that time. I didn't know anything. But God is going. God will never let you go. He's the answer. Another time I'm just telling this, but just that God is so wonderful. Betty and I had lost everything that we had. I had a brand new pickup. We lost it. And there was no funds back there to help or nothing else. And Wayne didn't even have any milk. And this woman, Mrs. Lowe, she says, I'll get Wayne milk. And Dennis was John's son. We was both working as contractor. No work. And I was reading this book of Oral Roberts. And I thought, oh, Lord, I wish I was like Oral Roberts. Boy, he's just a... And I just started crying. I said, Lord, You're so wonderful. But I said, I don't see any way out of this. I said, you know, I said, we're here in McKinney, Texas. And I said, it's raining, tornadoes. And Betty, that day, she had sent off her income tax. And we had a refund. She said, I'm going to call Vernon. I believe Betty at that time was the spiritual leader. And she says, I want you to go to California. And God's going to open a window for the heaven door. I can't. It's hard to leave your family when everything's going wrong. And it rained and rained there. And if I hadn't have, so I got out to California and I thought, well, I'll work with my dad. And I thought that'd be a good job. But my mother said the third day, says, your dad says that you work too hard and he can't work with you. So I said, okay. So I just said, I'm sorry. And I went down to operating engineers. I never will forget it. I was praying. When I went in there, I don't think I stopped praying from the time I was in Texas. These kind of things just touch your heart because God takes over. And I went in that hall. Red Hester was the business agent. And this woman, I seen him talking to her, this business agent. I didn't even know the business agent. And I was just only 20-some years old, just a young kid. And so he makes his way over to see me. He has this big cigar. And he says, I hear you can run a cat. I said, yes, I can. He says, well, I'm going to send you out to the meanest man that there's in this region. And he says, he just fires people every day, and he don't care. He's a mean man. But I'm going to send you up to him. I said, oh, Lord, this is good. You know, I had no comprehension of what was going to take place. You know, I spent everything I had getting there, and I wasn't going to be a burden on my folks. And, he says, I'm going to send you up to Monty Brown. And if you make it, you've got a job. And I'll give you a card. I still got that card with me. It's in my billfold. But he said, if you don't make it, don't come back in. Don't even look at me. I won't give you no more, not another chance. So I was praying. I said, Lord, I went down to a
fellow in Reddit that I borrowed money from when I was in Schofield Barracks in Hawaii to come home on, Buck Sublin. And I said, Buck, could I borrow some money? I don't have any money, but would you loan me enough money to buy a car? Because I got to have a car to go to work. He says, sure. No problem. You don't need no collateral, no nothing. He says, just sign. He says, I'll give you money right now. So I went down and bought myself a 51 Oldsmobile and drove up there on the job. And the fellow said, we'll show up tomorrow morning. And I was, that morning, it was up Buckhorn Summit Ridge, and it was so cold. And I was just, I was so afraid. I know what it means, new people go to work. I always prayed for every new man, employee. They didn't know it, but I was praying for them because it's very hard first day to meet certain dimensions you have to meet. You do things wrong that you wouldn't normally do just because you're under pressure. And pressure's a hard thing to overcome. And this foreman come up to me real sort of, he says, get on that cat if you can know how. And he says, it was a cat and scraper. So I got on and I, it was an old slide bar. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've been running better cats than that in Texas. But anyway, I said, Lord, so I started praying, and I prayed 2 weeks straight. Never prayed all day long. All day long, every day. I said, Lord, help me make another minute. Never make another round. And I said, Lord, I said, I need you. I need you. I desperately called upon his name. But God heard my cry. And if you mean business with God, he will meet business with you. And that cat, I told him, I said, I'm going to lose the right final drive. And they said, how do you know? I said, because the dead axle's turning. Sure enough, it was doing just fine. So they said, okay, you better park it. That's that slider off the road with a D9 to that 8 to get it. So I went home. I came back the next Monday morning. And I figured, well, maybe I didn't have a lot of faith. I can't say that I had faith, but I prayed. Prayers come before faith. Prayers, what we got to do. God sees you when you're in trouble. He sees you where you are. Tonight, remember this in life. He sees you. Never stop. Stop praying. Please never stop praying. God hears your prayer. His ears are attentive to those that call it. He sees you as his child. And then this woman says, there's only 162 over there. He said, can you run it? There's a double stack D8. They, in those old days, they made two, took the manifold and split it, but two exhausts and some. Anyway, I remember getting on it, and it was an early 2U. Had a Johnson bar. The Johnson bar was way over. And he said, get in there in the scrapers and start pushing those 21s. And he was real sort of rough on me. And I was still praying. I said, Lord, I said, I'm comfortable now. And it wasn't noon from, I went to work at 7 o'clock, and by noon, he came up to me and he says, Junior, he said, if you want to run dozer, he says, you got a job with me as long as you want. And I run 3 days, and he says, we got to rebuild. This is God doing all this. It was God. And these old men, they didn't like most men coming, but they all took up, they was my fathers, every one of them. I mean, they helped me. God will come to your aid. He will bless you. And they told me, says, you don't have to drive that old raggedy car no more. We'll take you to work. And I didn't drive no more. I said, Lord bless. And God just met the need. God made me. I know what Joseph felt. But God gave you insight from heaven. God blessed you. And there's, God will meet your need. He's there to strengthen you. And they says, they finally found out that my wife was still in Texas. And they said, Junior, they all called me Junior because they were all maybe 30, 40 years older than I am. They've been or probably gone. I was just a young man. And they said, Junior, we all like you and we want you to get your wife here because you need her. So I called her that night and said, Betty, come, I've got a job. And that owner treated me so well, Monty Brown, it was a miracle after miracle every day. God had it designed to meet our need. And God has it designed to meet your needs. I just feel the presence of God here so heavy tonight. I'm really thankful for God. I've never had a friend like him. God has been so wonderful. I went through landmine in Korea, and they said, there's no hope for you. And I said, Lord, I'll do it. I figured that was the end of it. Not all tripwires were breaking everywhere. Not one went off. And they couldn't imagine. But my God went with me. God will go through you with life. That's why he wants us to serve him. My heart's broke tonight because I feel many, many people that don't really have an experience with God. I don't know why God chose me, but I love people. People think, I don't think, Brother Clint, you can never say that I've ever heard anybody about me. But I see a lot of souls is going to a devil's hell. I love all of you. But Jesus is coming back very soon. And most people don't have the Spirit. They've got a form of godliness, but they deny the power of their, Bible says, from such turn away. We need to come out, you know, and at that time, I was meeting a real hard decision. My dad basically told me he disowned me because I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I could not waver. It hurt so bad. My dad literally didn't want me. It hurt. But you know, before my dad died, I got to pray for him, and he seen there was something I had that he wanted. And he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in his home. And God has a reason why we go through certain crises, certain problems we see. There's a reason, because we all have words. And these words are to encourage, to uplift, to bring forth truth. It's very necessary that our words relate caring. And the Lord just spoke to me yesterday about that. People nowadays really do not care like we should care. Caring is you would take that physician's place. It need be. I prayed for a man one time and God healed him. But the Lord spoke to my heart and says, my son, you've got to take what he has. Will you be willing? I said, yes, I will. But it hurt so bad. I didn't realize how the man hurt. I just ached. And this went on about 3 days. The Lord took it from me. And that man was healed immediately. But God uses us to transfer pain. God's realm is so big that that's why a person that's never walked in the Spirit, they don't really understand what the Spirit's about. When I started, when God really visited me in 1035, I had an engagement with death. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were all there. And they called me in that time and says, we're going to lengthen your life out because you chose right. And it was like I was in a room with them. And they said, we're going to send you back. And you're going to lift up the name of the Holy Ghost. And you'll not be liked. Your churches that have liked you won't no longer like you. But the churches have got far from us. The Lord started telling me these things. And I knew this by God. And I knew that the opposition was going to be very critical and going to be hard. But the Lord says it's going to be their life. He says, now when they die, I judge them as I would have judged you. On where we stand. And I wasn't very proud of my life at that time, because I hadn't really walked in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God gives you an authority, and still you can come against it, and the enemy will come against you, and you still got to keep working all the time, but it gives you like a comfort zone. It gives you a dimension that's a realm that you can handle if you'll use it wisely. That word wisely, you always got to do it wisely, because the enemy comes to kill, destroy, and to steal. He wants to take everything that God has given you. And it's his delight to take everyone that's ever been filled with the Spirit of God. He wants to lower that level till they become a victim of wrongdoings. And then it's God that has to, we don't judge that, but if they're with God, they become at that realm that God judges them. But it's a very questionable position. That word questionable tonight, we need not to question no longer. We need to realize that he is the King of Kings. It's going to be a very special engagement when we go to seek him. A very high calling. It's written in the Word, but people haven't taken the Word to heart. Well, the problem is, they haven't taken the Word as from God. And the Apostle Paul said, this I say and testify of the Lord,
That should be our main. This I say and testify of the Lord. And he says that ye walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds because of the darkness within them, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance because of the blindness of their heart. God really spells it. God doesn't wish this. But when we get backslid, God allows, because God loves us so much, he gives us like a darkness that comes in because while your days here on earth, he's going to make you as comfortable as you can be. Because God loves you that much, because he knows your destiny. Unless you change, you're on the wrong way. But God loves you so much that he darkens the eyes. It's in Romans. Read the first chapter of Romans. That's not about funny people, all these other things. Those are Christians because they were not thankful. God turned them over to do unless we have the Spirit of God, we will do wrong things. We will say wrong things, and we will occupy wrong places. We will do crazy things because he is a manipulator of our minds. He's able to deceive us that we think it's from God. And when it all is that message last Sunday, not from the heart of God. And to me this night, I think all of us say, we want to please God. I want to maintain a standard that God is very pleased with what I'm doing. That it will be from the heart of God. And that's why I've chose to walk in this vocation I've walked. Because I knew that I could never do anything within myself. And I could not even write it down. And God says, I will help you. God gave me a belief, Sister Jan, quite a few years ago, that one day you'll speak from heaven. For I, the Lord thy God, am here this day in a very powerful. Be not afraid, my ones. Be not afraid, for I love thee. I say, be afraid of those that are not in right standard with the Lord thy God. Be afraid for them, because they need that Savior. They need that dimension, that they know that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they know that they're on their way to heaven, that there is no question in their mind, there is no doubt, no concern that they had missed, walked the wrong way. But I'm here this night to include thee, this night to not no longer fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down as a green grass and wither as in the herb, but trust the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land of God. God is here to bless you. He's here to strengthen you. My people, be not afraid, for I've not given thee the spirit of fear. I spoke that before. Be not afraid. Be not afraid, for I, the Lord thy God, shall go with thee. For I shall keep thee in the hollow of my mighty hand. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under my shadow, saith the Spirit of God. I'm able to support my beloved. I'm able to do great and mighty exploits, but I say my people have taken this cause so lightly. They have read many outlines of their own understanding, but I'm looking people no longer to be in their own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord thy God as superior and don't want to move out in their flesh. I want a people that don't want to move in the flesh. They want to move in the spirit, but they will no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. That they would walk upright before the Lord thy God, that they would walk in victory. For I'm here in an awesome way. For I say my servant could not speak right now. It's hard for him because my spirit is so heavy. But I'm here to deliver thee, to strengthen thee, and not be afraid, my one. For I love thee. I say fear that one that can fear your God that can destroy soul and body. But I say fear not man. Fear not the enemy. Because greater is he that is with me than he is with the world. Let not your heart be troubled no longer, neither let it be afraid. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place, and if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye might be. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye have a Savior. You have a way. Speak what's holy, and thou shalt be prosperous. Come out from among them, be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you, and I'll be a father in you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. For I say, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For I say, my word says, he destroys the body, I will destroy that one. I say my people need to be represent that their body is the housing of the Holy Spirit. Their body is the temple of God. That this body that you live in is the precious gift from God. It's made no longer to process evilness. It's made to process the Lord from heaven. God is here to bless. But glory, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I love you. God is here in such a way, awesome way. I feel his presence as I did that night when I believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I feel his closeness right now. He's here to bless us, not to be afraid. God is your answer. God is your Savior. It doesn't make any difference what anyone says. He will help you. God is good. God is wonderful. He's powerful. He has all of the supports. He has all of the ways to make you prosper in this life. He is able. We're more than conquerors through him which loved us. And we must be persuaded neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, I just praise you. I praise you this night. Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I thank you. I thank you that I can be a channel that you can use me for your glory. And you're not consuming me, Lord God. If I was not right, I know you'd take my body and just make havoc with it. Because I know you. I know you. And you're giving me that confidence like a mighty, mighty vessel. So big, so wonderful. And I'm like a speck of dust. And you don't crush me. You still love me. And it gives me great consolation in thee this day that thou art wonderful. Thou art glorious. Thou art beauty. And Lord, I know that you're coming through the clouds of glory and you have a place ready. You have a place arranged for each one of us that we have a wonderful home. But while we're here, Lord God, that you will keep us. You will bless us. You will strengthen us that we might be more than conquerors through you which loves us. Father, just pray a mighty blessing upon this home. I pray up in the glory. God, Father, in Jesus' name, give me the words. I pray a mighty blessing upon this home. Lord, I know that I'm just clay here tonight. I am nothing. I pray for a mighty blessing of Brother Clint. Oh, Lord, bless his body, bless his life, bless him. As he's never been blessed before, I pray from this day forth, he will feel the vitality of heaven. And Sister Jan, I pray for a mighty blessing upon her. I pray that there'll be a glorious power upon her, a power insight. Lord God, you've given her an insight of glory. And I pray that you reveal yourself to her in a very positive and a very glorious way. Let them walk together as one. And I pray for the children. I pray for Brother these here, the other, Brianne, and each one of here, Jennifer and Michael. I pray for a mighty blessing upon them. Let them not be afraid. For they, if we're afraid now, what it's going to be when we meet you face to face? We need to know you now that we're not afraid. That we have our perfect trust in the living God. You're greater, and you are no problem in God. It's a problem seeing the enemy. He's come to destroy. He's come to destroy mankind. He's come to destroy all things. And this night we pray for a mighty blessing on everyone in this room. We pray that this church, this house will be holy ground. And Father, we claim for the sale of this house. We pray that you'll move mightily upon it. And we praise you in Jesus' name. 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 In the name of Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I apologize for my composure tonight, but God really broke my spirit here tonight. And I love each one of you. I'm just clay like you are. My days are very short. But I believe that the Lord is coming back unless something happens real fast. And I was in that, God gave me a dream, and it wasn't scary. When I rose up through the clouds in heaven, it was like the most, I was laughing. I couldn't quit laughing. I was laughing when I woke up. And there was so much joy. I mean, you couldn't imagine the joy that was going in that transformation. But the sad thing, there wasn't a lot of people. There were some. I might have been in a different area. That's not saying God had different places on the earth. But where I was at, there wasn't a lot. It really saddened my heart. I'm very care. And I don't believe it's in building programs. I'm going to say this very boast from the Lord. It's not in building programs. It's not even getting things saved no longer. Because we're coming to a time that God has crossed his arms and he's saying, this is enough. New Orleans is probably the first. And we all know what took place in New Orleans. And it's not to be afraid, but God is going to take his children home. And those that don't believe it, I feel for them. Because there's going to be heartaches. I don't want nobody to be scared, but there's going to be heartaches. There's nothing here. We can see it. And the United States is in a very flimsy condition right now. An earthquake in this part of the region, another couple of hurricanes in this other part, and a little other things that God can do. It's like Ezekiel when he fights off that mighty armies, and he does it through his components. His components, the wind, what he has. But we can't come against those, the mighty hand of God. And we can't say this to even Satan, because I don't know whether Satan is not in the control of the winds. God is in the winds. And God has everything in control. But Satan has a way of disturbing the minds that we will think it's never going to come. That we can put off to tomorrow, to the next day. We just keep putting off and putting off. We got plenty of time. The Bible says, and knowing the time, now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Night is far spent. Let us cast off all the, put us on the whole armor of life. That we might cast off all the works of darkness and put on the whole, that's what God is saying, that we might put off the whole, cast off all the things of darkness and put on the whole armor of life. God wants to armor us with his presence. Ephesians, the first chapter, that he would seal us in with the Holy Spirit. It said the Holy Spirit of promise. But the Holy Spirit is a sealing that God can control about you that the enemy can't come against you. It's like that dream you had, Brother Clint. Now that pipe, you want to tell that? Did anyone here know that? But I really believe this is from the... Did you share that?
This morning I woke up and I saw two... I had a dream about two men, and they were like cartoons. And the first one had this golden pipe about 4 inches in diameter, full of the most wonderful, glowing, wonderful... And it went down into his head and through his body. But the second man, the pipe was 6 or 8 feet in diameter, and the man was inside. And I realized that Satan could touch the man that had the pipe in him. But the man was on the outside. But the other man, Satan could touch.
Amen. I believe that's from the Lord.
And I knew I was the man that had the pipe here. And I needed to become the man that had the pipe all around.
I think that God is the answer for all life. And we need to get it in our heart.